All right, Ben. I cannot hear you, Ben. Ben, are you here? I don't think so. All right. I guess Ben dropped out. Well, welcome to those who participate here on this call through the internet's BBS radio. We are a few minutes late, and we're going to start this call here shortly. Ben was here on the line on his cell phone. And the Skype line didn't work so well. He's still in Los Angeles area. That's why we have the connection problem at this moment. We hear Daphne, her music in the background. And Don, what is it, Duck? BBS? If you maybe can turn up the music a little bit for us. Thank you so much and enjoy the call. This is Don, right? It's Duck. You're always Sundays, right? Yeah. All right. Hey, thank you so much for having us here. All right, man. All right, thanks. Let's see.
Doug, are you there?
Okay, now I hear you, Win.
Okay. How come we were late today? How come we were late? Tell everybody. You're doing an awesome job, Doug. Okay. Everyone, that's Doug at BBS Radio, and if you're listening on the internet, Doug is the guy responsible for that, okay?
How's the recorder, Win?
This conference is being recorded.
Okay. Hives is pushing me into a corner. He just started the recorder, the tape recorder. And this is, let's see, it's February 19th?
17th.
17th? That's right.
Yes.
2013. And at least I got the year right, which I've been making lots of mistakes on. Is Terry there?
I'm here.
So this is Terry and Wynn in Los Angeles. And we're still here from last weekend. And we have a wonderful patron by the name of Vaughn. Hey, Terry, have you figured out how to say Vaughn's last name?
No.
You haven't figured it out. A wonderful patron by the name of Vaughn, who has even a more wonderful dog. I shouldn't say that. An equally
no, you shouldn't
dog.
Say that. That's not even true.
An equally wonderful dog by the name of Rusty. That is very lovable. And Vaughn has a building in West in North Hollywood, and he had empty units in his building, so he said, "You guys can stay in my empty unit." So we've been holed up in our Zen environment with not much furniture. Of course, that doesn't bother me at all. Does it bother you, Terry?
No, that doesn't bother me either.
No. In fact, I kind of like it. It's a pleasant change of pace from the clutter. We have a lot going on at Terry's house in Sedona. So it gets really busy there. Jim, are you there on the line? Jim is muted. Forget it, Jim. Jim is there at the house.
He could do a star six.
Jim, are you there?
Jim, press star six if you're here.
Yeah.
Jim is here, yes.
We're not giving you stage fright, are we, Jim?
I'm petrified.
This is Carolyn, and I wanted to say that I'm going to listen to the rest of it on the VBS because my phone isn't working very well. Can you hear me? If you can hear me, I'll listen to you.
We can hear you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, do you understand that?
Yeah, that's Carolyn, who is hanging up her phone and listening over BBS for now. She's in Uganda.
Okay. All right. Well, Jim is a wonderful piano player. One day we'll play one of his pieces. He's been compared to Liberace. I don't know if you like that comparison. Do you like that comparison, Jim?
That's fine. Liberace plays a lot like me.
He plays a lot like you, I see.
That's great. It's true.
Or he played many years ago.
Yes.
Now, you don't have Liberace's similar aspects to his private life, do you?
No. No.
No. Just checking, okay?
I'm just all alone and miserable.
Okay. All right. Well, here we are, another Sunday, and we had a wonderful, wonderful session with Carla yesterday. You know, that was a Law of One workshop, and went for 3 hours, and I think the energy was wonderful. Carla and I, of course, have our own unique rapport, and Lucy was saying earlier, when the call was opening up, that she went back and read the Law of One, and she understood it, because most people don't understand it. I mean, they understand a little bit, but it is really deep. And every paragraph, it's like you can go through the words and read them again and again and again because there's so much depth to the meaning. So we did the workshop yesterday, and the format of the workshop is I would read paragraph of the book of her raw channeling, and then I would comment, she would comment, Carla would comment, and we'd try to interpret that paragraph so it was very simple, so that anyone could understand it. And I think we succeeded, at least for Lucy, who's on the line, who really got a lot out of it, and I think we succeeded. I could feel the energy, people were getting it, and it's an awesome thing to get, because the Law of One, Carla's Law of One material, is probably the most accurate, precise understanding of how the dimensions, what happens on the other side, from Ra's point of view. Not so much from the Elohim's point of view. You know, it's very interesting when you really, really start studying Ra and the Elohim, when you really start looking at it, you start really realizing the different perspectives. Because first, it's so new, you can't take it in. But as you read the Law of One, as you read the Elohim, our book, they really do have different perspectives. I think one way of looking at it, one way, Terry can correct me on this, but from the Elohim's central point of view in the universe, it's just everything looks like frequencies, like energies. We're totally a bunch of energies. And they have to penetrate really deeply to see beyond the energies. And they do on our group because we're picking up on their energies. They're picking up on our energies. But in general, it's all energy. And the Ra group is closer in dimension-wise. And they see things as energies as well, but at a different level, and they're closer to seeing the physical aspect of things. And they relate more to the physical aspect of things. Throughout the history of our planet, there are way more interventions from the Ra group than from the Elohim group, I think. Although, in the right circumstance, the Elohim group will help the Ra group. The Ra group is more of the warriors who actually go and do things. And the Elohim group is more of the radiators who can radiate energy. And, of course, it is extremely rare that any group consciously works with both group souls, and that figures it out, that it works that way. And Carla Ruckert's material has been a great, 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 great contribution to my understanding of how the Ra group works. Because once you know how they work, once you read their words, it starts to build your own connection with them, because you can have your connection with both groups. In fact, in the Law of One, there are none. It's all one group. In fact, the group that comes on says it's Ra'an, speaking through Terry. So even to say there's a Ra group and an Elohim group is part of the illusion, part of the distortion. But nonetheless, that's it's a very high level of distortion this evening in terms of those two groups. And another thing, it's like oftentimes we think of them as being very, very, very big, huge. On the other hand, the microcosm represents the macrocosm. So they're also very, very, very small. If you recall, on the very first introduction of the Elohim, which I have on my video, when they start out saying it's been a long time since we did this, you know, the video on intelligent tendency that opens it up. And they said, we are looking at the infinitesimal beauty of your soul, infinitesimal beauty. And I still have not completely resolved the use of the word infinitesimal. It has to have very small. And on one way, I've come to think of the soul as being large or expansive. Then, when I think about it, infinitesimal, as you go smaller and smaller, you go atomic, molecular, atomic, subatomic, and that our sources are there as well as there. They're both places. They're all places. And so when I say the words infinitesimal beauty of your soul, when I say that, I can feel this radiance go through my body at a very close-in level. Maybe some of you felt that when I said it. Because they're there. They're inside as well as outside. There is no inside and outside. It's all a big projection. And there's the projector and there's the screen, but it's all the same. And we're in the movie. And Terry, are you there?
Uh-huh, I'm here. I'm here.
What did you think of the word infinitesimal?
At first it seemed wrong. And then we questioned them about it, and they used it again. And then what I was thinking was, like, so above, so below. So when you get to very tiny particles, nanoparticles, you get to cells, they have their own beauty, and they have their own geometric patterns, how they go together into infinitesimal small spaces. And so what I picture is a beautiful display of geometric units that are put together into a light body that can shine and that can glow and be absolutely beautiful. So when the Elohim, for instance, look for somebody that is praying, they see a light shining, and you can see where the individuals are that are praying by where these lights are glowing and reaching out.
Well, thank you. That was beautiful. And, you know, if you go beyond decimal, I mean, I don't know, maybe decimal is wrong, but look at the word.
You're cutting out.
Look at the word. Is that better now?
Yes.
Yeah, much better.
Look at the word infinity. Infinity, and then look at the word infinitesimal, right?
Yeah.
And like infinitesimal is like the reverse of infinity, okay? Infinity is the big expanse that goes on and on. And infinitesimal is the nothing.
Well, I think it means infinitesimally small. Like, it goes really, really small into infinity of smallness of creation.
Infinity, yeah, I mean, infinity is incredibly large. Infinitesimal is incredibly small. And that our sources are in both places because everything reflects everything, the macrocosm and the microcosm. And so as you get infinitely small, you move into the field that's inside each of us, that moves through us, that it all doesn't exist. It's all a projection from nothing to nothing. It's a projection. And, you know, the world, which normally just seems huge, and the solar system and the universe, you know, seems huge suddenly. Think of it as that's only one side of the projection. The other side of the projection is infinitesimal inside us, and they both exist.
You're breaking up again, Wynn.
You're breaking up.
Yeah. Is my phone breaking up? The cell phone breaking up? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
So, you see, when you say you have the universe inside you, that could be actually true, that inside you, inside every cell, in fact, I believe the Ra group says this, inside every cell is a universe, a reflection of the bigger universe inside you. And, you know, one of the ways, one of the things that kind of validates that is astrology. I used to be an astrologer, and I used to be fascinated trying to figure out how astrology could work. How could it work? How could these planets so far away influence you, who is so small on this face of the earth? But yet I did astrology, and I proved to myself that it worked, even when I didn't believe it. It's probably my first entry into metaphysical stuff. And I didn't believe it, but I did it, and it worked. And then I said, how can this work? And I didn't have an answer. I knew it worked, but I didn't know how it worked. Now I see how it works. It's the macrocosm, microcosm. It's that everything out there has a point inside you, in you. And so when you're born, your DNA is imprinted with all the field energies of all the planets. The planets, you know, that energy that we talk about that moves through the universe, starts at the center of the universe, that moves through the galaxies, the Milky Way and the solar system, that we bring up every time we do a calling in of the light. That energy moves in through the top of your head, through your body, into the center of the earth. Well, that energy is passing all the galaxies, it's passing all the planets, and it's being modified and shifted by everything it passes in some way or another. So when it comes into the top of your head, well, let's just go back even further. When it comes into a fetus, when it comes into a fetus, it's still in the womb. That's what we call the soul entering fetus. And by the way, we've asked when that happens, and they said it's no fixed answer. Sometimes it happens before the person is born, sometimes after, sometimes the soul hangs around the fetus, even from the time of conception. And so it's not a fixed answer for that. But the soul, at one point or another, enters the fetus, and it's passed through all the planets, and there's something in the DNA configuration where the soul energy, the energy of the universe at that moment of all the configuration, strikes the fetus, and boom, the fetus is now like taking a snapshot of the entire universe, including the solar system, and that snapshot is called your astrological chart, okay? And that does not include, there's all these other influences influencing your DNA as well. There is the influence of your past life, which we've seen over and over again in people looking like people. There is the influence of your parents, who you're going to model certain aspects of your DNA. There is the influence of the neighborhood you live in, etc., which is going to impact the field and the DNA that you are going to have. But the one thing is snapshot of the universe, snapshot of the planets. And so now you're a walking radiator of different astrological aspects. If you have ever done astrology or know anything about it, you know there's 9 planets, I think, and each planet is in a sign of the zodiac, which is actually just a location in the sky, in the heavens. and then each planet is in a relationship to the Earth and its rotation. And then there's angular relationships between the planets, which are either difficult or easy. It's quite a complex set of interactions. You're doing a chart. And one day, perhaps, Daphne and I will do a special Saturday session on astrology, since we both have a background in astrology. And it's like my snapshot of the universe gets next to your snapshot of the universe, and all of our energies interact. And so, for example, if you have a square means a 90-degree interaction. A square is always a difficult aspect in astrology. So if your Mercury, which represents your thinking, was squared to Jupiter, which represents expansion, it puts those two concepts in conflict. So you would think too expansively in a way that somehow brought negative things. Now, if somebody else has a trine in Jupiter and I have a Mercury in Jupiter and we coordinate and this is a whole course. This will be for Daphne and I's Saturday course on astrology one day. But my planets combine with your planets, and then it shows whether there's a flow of energy between us and where it could be difficult, where the energy flow could be difficult. And it's very fascinating. It was very fascinating for me to prove that this worked when I was younger, and I was more or less a nerd my physics major's days, but I couldn't believe this could be possible. And it really set me up to do a lot of investigation afterwards. And one of the most amazing things that I experienced when I was first doing astrology is I started to know all these people's signs, and occasionally I would meet someone new, and I could feel their energy. I got to know my own chart, and I could feel how their energy would radiate my chart. So, I mean, to give you an example, my Mercury was in Aries. And then somebody else had Venus in Aries. Mercury represents communication. Venus represents love. And if you had a relationship with that person, it would be Aries represents enthusiasm and self, high motivation. If Mercury was in Aries, and a woman had her Venus in Aries, it would indicate we'd have a very mental and enthusiastic romantic relationship. And even if we didn't have the relationship, those energies would be present. And I was able to sense the energies and then start to pick people's signs. I can't do that now. I'm not in practice. And I could not do it consistently. I only could do it when a person's sign strongly connected with something in my chart. And when I was discovering this, it was kind of really blowing my mind, because it was proving to me that this was real, because I couldn't believe it was real at first. I don't know why I'm talking about astrology. Well, you know what? I'm talking about the microcosm and the macrocosm, and started out with infinitesimal beauty of your soul, and that you see in the highest truth. Am I screwing up? Highest Okay. In the highest truth, when we talk about the law of one, you refine it to infinitesimal. And it's like, there we are in this field of energy and connecting with each other, and there's no divisions. It's all one. There's no space. Even though we're on this line and we're all over the world, and Carolyn is in Uganda and Mel is in England, suddenly there's no space. And we can be closer than we can be even to our life, our spouse, on this call. Feel those connections. And that is the nature of spirit and the transformation we're all going through. When you start to move into that level, when you start to experience that, guess what? You're above the shift. There is no shift. The shift is part of infinitesimal. Even though the whole planet's changing, the whole solar system's changing, it's all infinitesimal. So when you go, one of the things that I kind of started to have cognition about when I was doing astrology was that it was possible to go above astrology. And that if my consciousness was placed above the astrological aspects, then astrology became a lesser influence in everything that I was connected to. If it wasn't above it, then it was a major influence. For most of us, astrology is impacting our lives. It's impacting the way we relate to people. It's impacting the things that happen to us, things that occur, and we're above our astrology. And I think on these calls, to do what we do on these calls, we have to go above our astrology, above lots of things, above the physical universe, and to create a feeling of oneness, we have to move through huge globs of matter, of stuck energy. But you know what? We're doing it effortlessly. Even though we're moving through them, we're doing it effortlessly. And that effortless movement is the beginning of grace, the touching of those energies, and the learning how it works so that we can hold the space of these new energies and we can radiate it to other people. And you know, this is one of the themes of all this work we're doing, is you don't have to call yourself anything. You don't need to have an identity. You don't have to be a healer. You don't have to be a shaman. You don't have to be a guru. You just have to show up and hold the space. And if you hold the space, not everyone will get it, but lots of people will. And when somebody gets it, it doesn't mean they understand the stuff we're talking about. They don't have to understand it. You know, the understanding of this material doesn't make you graduate. Did you know that? They said that, and we said that. We asked them. It's not the understanding. It's the open heart. And you don't need to understand all this to have an open heart. And then the next level is the wisdom. You know, you're creating your future by how far you can expand into this hologram, or how small you can expand into the microcosm of the hologram. And placing yourself at a point in the universe which is where you're going to reappear, where you don't have to reappear in this 3D realm. And that is the nature of this graduation we're talking about. And, you know, we're working, lots of people are coming into these calls, and they're hopeful of some kind of transformation. They're hopeful of some kind of healing. And a lot of people are getting those healings on our calls. And we have a list. And if you've never put anything on the list, it's the way to put something on the list is inthelight.intelligent-infinity.com. Inthelight.intelligent-infinity.com. And then you can look at the list at healing.intelligent-infinity.com. And you can send energy to all those people who have things they're putting in the light. And sometimes they put in personal issues. Sometimes they put in planetary issues. And on Sundays, we read through some of the things on this list. But we're not just reading. Jerry, is that you making all that restless noise back there?
I don't know. I just moved my hand. Maybe that was it. But I haven't moved other than that.
Are you using that purple headset?
No.
Talking into the phone?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Keep in mind that we're camping in North Hollywood. So we're doing our best to make everything work from our campsite, which is actually a beautiful penthouse apartment. Anyone looking for a penthouse in Los Angeles? Lana's renting it. So we're going to go through this list, and basically use this energy that we are creating together. We are. You know, when we talk about free will, we are choosing, everyone on this line, especially people that keep coming back that understand what we're doing, is we are creating a group energy. Now, I've kind of facilitated. I'm not creating it. I'm just facilitating it. And the people have to create it from their own end, just as much as I facilitate it. Because if you didn't create it, nothing would happen. And then we have this group energy, and we direct it towards people that need support, help, synchronicities, healing. And when we do this kind of directing of group energies, it is always for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. We say that over and over again. But what does that mean? I mean, some of you have heard me explain this. For those that haven't, what is for the highest good of all concerned? Well, that means we don't always understand the implications of things that we ask for or ramifications. For example, you could ask for something to happen, and if it happened, it would cause hurt for another person. For example, you have this married woman that you love, and say, I want Mary and I to get together, and it might really hurt her husband if she left him. And so you can still go for that relationship. There's nothing stopping you from going from it. But when you start to invoke the energies of the higher realms, they're going to say, this is not for the highest good of all concerned. So we can't add our energy to this. Another example might be that you have contracted to go through some kind of healing or physical maladjustment, disease, while you're in this realm. And that you've contracted it in order to work out some kind of karmic pattern from the past. And by going through it, you're working out that pattern. And if you ask for it to be released, it might not be in your highest good for it to be released, because you still have the pattern of the past that you're trying to help, and your high self particularly arranged for this. So you can't lose that particular disability. And then there's the no fear aspect, or honoring free will, I should say. So when we ask for things, two things, highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. And as we know, in this realm, there is a lot of service to self negative. And it has the desire to control things, slave things, to create havoc, and even to kill people. And it has free will. And we can't, the forces of the higher realms cannot act as a police force for all those negative things, service self things in this realm. And in fact, one time I had a conversation with them, and I said, would it be possible to just get rid of them all and things would do a lot better? And the answer was, no, it might go better for a little while now, but if you got rid of their bodies, their energies of their spirits would still exist, come back in some future world and do exactly the same damage that they were doing here. So you can't get rid of them. You can only convert them, uplift them, make them shift and change, but you can't do away with them. And you can't, they have to be allowed free will to do what they do. And to not consider them the enemy, but to work around them. So, for example, you could send the light to the idea that these people open up to compassion. You send them energy around them so that they can have greater opportunities of choice and experience in their field. But you can't get rid of them. You can't stop the effects of their actions. But you can counter the effects of their actions. Counter them. You can bring in energies that have a opposite impact than their energies. Then something can shift. So with all of this healing stuff, these are the most important principles, that they're for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. That being said, I'll read some of the things on today's list. And as I read these, since we're talking about group energy, let's hold that group energy and send it to these people. And if you're not on this list, you want to be, just remember, every time I send out a Sunday session, there's a little place on how to get on the list, and fill it out, and you end up automatically on the web, And if you put your last name in, I don't read last names here. But we have Tammy, Playa Del Rey. Hi, Tammy. We met Tammy at Denny's at one of our flash lunches last week. She's putting a Foster, a Campbell, and his wife and their Thrive movie and movement into the light. And helping to achieve an increase in abundance of finances. That's also Tammy. And she sends healing for, I don't know if I should read these people's names, S.J., Tom, Edward, my brother, mother, father, for myself, all of the life. J. Patrick in Santa Cruz, to help all those experiencing the effects of strokes, mini strokes, including my mother Ruth at St. Elizabeth's Red Bluff, California, to experience and feel the wonderful energies of healing. Susan, in Delaware, for the highest good of all concerned, she's requesting healing for the hearts and minds of the consensus really at large, my local community, Carla Wynn, Daphne Terry, Tony and Laurie, Bill, Jane, William, Megan, Steve, Susan, Kelly, Ken, and thank you. Chris, in Oakwood, Texas, sends a prayer request for someone else that he's updating. Brenda just got a call that baby Grace is now out of intensive care. Thanks for letting us prayer people and the child's family see light at the end of the tunnel. Joe in Redondo Beach. Joe, how come you didn't come to Denny's when we had our meeting at the airport? Watch for our next flash dinner. He did come, as a matter of fact.
He did come, Joe.
Yeah, he did come. He's sending for an infusion of light to his counseling practice so that as his clients step into the energy stream of healing and growth, and I step into the energy stream of financial abundance in a wonderful win-win exchange, and ask that healing, abundant energy, extend here towards all of humanity and wrap around our Mother Earth peace and love. Thanks to Wynn and Terry for their tireless work. And Cheryl asked for just in Texas for personal healing. Diane in Boulder City, Nevada. Hey, Diane, did you know Daphne and I lived in Boulder City, Nevada for about 3 months in 2008? And we really like that city. It's a really unusual city. Boulder City is about 25 miles from Las Vegas, and they built it as a community to house the people who were building Boulder Dam. And probably it's the only city in Nevada that doesn't allow gambling. And it's just a tiny little community, different from any place else I've ever seen in Nevada. So Diane is asking for healing for Jason, who's having personal and job issues in his life, and his mother Kathy, who is trying so hard to help him. And love and light to Regina, who has a traumatic brain injury and is having many problems in her life right now. And we have Chris in Oakwood, Texas. is prayer for infants. His roommate works with a grandmother whose grandbaby is now a major hospital. Life support due to a heart problem. So she requests, Grace requests a prayer for a miracle healing. You all know how to pray in faith, so please join your prayers with Grace's. Thank you. God bless. Then we have Andrew in Philadelphia. And of course, Philadelphia is my hometown. Cancer of the colon. Please pray that he pulls through and for healing. Thank you. Chris didn't say who it was, but whoever it is, Andrew, it's working through you, so we send the energy. And Anthony in Farmington Hills, Michigan, needs to find an optimal career position, utilize his talents, and in a harmonious environment. And Randy in Henrico, Virginia. Healing in a relationship with my son, Brandon, also help in attracting a new love and help in money issues. Being able to attract more of it. Thank you. Okay, that's all we're going to do of those right now. Let's just take a moment, and if you have things, which we all do, that we want help with, we want to help access this energy in unfolding our own hopes and dreams, success, healings for ourselves, healings for someone else. Just take a moment and hold space for things to happen. Remember, for the highest good of all concerned, and honoring free will. Now, our sources say they're paying attention to us. They can read our minds. So this is your opportunity. Put it out there. Remember, when you do this, you're putting something into the light. Don't put anxiety. Don't put fear. Only keep it positive. Don't put concern. Don't put worry. Just take a moment. As Terry sometimes said, senior situation, senior. Put it in there from senior place. Because you really care about them. They have a life-threatening circumstance. It's very easy to go into worry and fear. And those things block the ability to get the right working. So do your best. Access them to their beauty of who they really are. Love their problem. Send the energy to them. right now to send the energy to each other. We are above our problems. Remember that just because you always do this doesn't mean it's going to shift. We talked earlier about some of the things that cause things to shift, not to shift, and how it may not be in someone's highest good for something to happen.
Vin, get closer to the mic.
Okay. There we go. And sometimes an obstacle in your path is there so you can develop the spiritual muscle to overcome it. And if it's a big obstacle, it's a big spiritual muscle that's needed. It's like push-ups. It's like weightlifting. A bigger weight makes your muscles stronger. So on that note, let's do our meditation, our guided visualization. And if you happen to be new to our line, you're new to it, many people tell me this is one of the most popular things that we do, because it guides you into the experience of connecting with the energies. And for some of you, many times I get emails that this is the case, people have connected, made connections during this meditation that they never made in their entire life with higher realms. So if you're open to that possibility, get relaxed. Be in a comfortable chair or on your bed. Take your shoes off. Put your feet on flat to the floor, whether it's on your bed or on the floor. And we're working with the principle that the entire universe is one being. And everything is part of the same energy. And everything is family, so to speak. And on this plane, on Earth, people have lost that connection, many people. They've done it because of possessions, of power, and because this realm is very much influenced by something called the negative that create circumstances for you to lose your connection. They create environments. They create news. They create movies. They create things to program you so you won't be connected to all that is. You may not know that, but it's most certainly true if you started investigating. And the reason they do that, that's done, is because you're easier to control. And if you're watching TV every night, if you're doing a lot of things that are in the flow of consensus reality, it's not going to be easy to reach the higher energies as you keep programming yourself with the lower energies. But the universe is one. The Earth is one with us. The Elohim is part of us. The Ra group is part of us. It's all one energy. And we're in a temporary experience here of separation. But we can overcome that separation. And that's the goal of the work we're doing, to create circumstances and inspirations and energies that give you the ability to overcome separation. And so we're going to see the Earth. We are all, everyone here on this line has something in common. And when our feet are on the floor, They are aimed towards the earth. And the earth is alive, and the earth can send her energy through the floor, through our feet, in such a way that you can feel the earth. Some of you will feel a slight buzzing in your feet. And the earth, we can tell the earth we love her silently. And you can feel that energy increase a little and move it from your feet to your legs, to your calves, to your thighs, through your genitals, through your solar plexus, through your chest, through your neck, your head, to the top of your head. So now we have the energy of the earth blending with our body energy coming up to the top of our head. And we're going to move through the top of our head. We're going to see our energy above our head. And as we do that, if you look at the top of your head or your crown chakra, you might feel a buzzing of energy there. We're above our head, we're moving up to the ceiling, we're moving through the ceiling. If we have people above us, we're moving through their rooms until we hit the roof. And we're going through the roof and flying into the sky. We keep going higher and higher through the veil of the earth, through the energy field of the earth, through our solar system, and eventually we come to a place where we all merge. We all began. We touch each other. Touch each other's spirits. And we blend. This is voluntary, so if you're just listening and observing, that's okay. If you're new to the line, it's good to check and observe. Make sure you feel comfortable with the energies we're working with. And so we're creating this oneness of all of us in another dimension. And here we are, a bunch of strangers on this line who are not really strangers. It feels familiar. For some of us, it's closer feeling than our friends. So let's just say hello to each other. Now we're going to invite the Elohim and the Ra groups, our group of soul friends, to join our energies. We are creating just by our intention and our visualization, a space in other dimensions, in another dimension. And even though we can't see it, it's real. It's actually there. And they can see it. And not only that, they can join with it. now we have this huge energy that we have built. Let's bring the energy back down through the dimensions and back into our physical body. So we see this energy. It's like an extension cord being plugged into the group energy coming down through the clouds, through our roofs, through our ceiling, into that spot above your head, and into the top of your head. Some of you can feel kind of like the top of your head is really expansive and glowing. Some of you have that feeling. Now, you are the master of moving this energy around in your body. If I tell it to go somewhere, it might, because you trust me and we're cooperating, but you can tell it to go somewhere just as well as me. In fact, look for blocks in your body. Do you have any blocks? Ask this energy to surround the block and move through it. Start the energy flowing. How many of you have tight shoulders? See this energy moving through your shoulders. Now, oftentimes, I take this energy and move it around our teeth and say, let's use it to fix cavities. If you read the story of my sister, when her lupus went away, they said they projected an energy into her blood, took the lupus out. Well, you know, let's ask them to project an energy and fix her tooth infections or gum infections. Bring the energy down through our neck. Chakra in your neck and mouth area has to do with communication and wisdom. I will tell you, if you want to keep that chakra open, you need to be extremely honest in everything that comes out of your mouth. Never compromise. When you do, start closing that energy. Never cheat anyone. Don't lie. And we go down into our chest area, which is our heart chakra. And we look at our heart chakra, and according to our materials, your heart needs to be 51% open to graduate this realm. And one of the easiest ways to open your heart is through forgiving people that have done you dirty, that have done you in, because every person, every situation that you have resentment for is some percentage points in that area. So we want to release them. We don't want to hold them. You're making yourself suffer there is this illusion that if you really hold a grudge against somebody, that you're making them suffer. And chances are you're not making yourself suffer. And you're certainly closing your heart down, decreasing your chances of graduating this realm. So it's easy enough. Let's go through those people one by one. Surround them with energy. Surround them with love. And forgive them. Let it go. Think of the people that have hurt you, abandoned you, stole money from you. Your parents who didn't bring you up the way you should have been brought up and gave you all these hang-ups. And the girlfriends, the wives. Put it into the light right now. Let it go. Go down to our solar plexus, our stomach area, and we bring the energy there to focus for power. Down to our genitals, we can release shame, we can release guilt. The rule about sex is if you're going to engage with someone, someone else said this and I thought it was very wise, if you're going to engage that way with someone, and it's not going to be a marriage situation, it's going to be a temporary experience, then make sure you leave them better than you found them. That keeps you from getting karma, okay? Don't deceive people about anything in that area. With deception, a guy that tells a woman how much he loves her so he can have an experience with her, and then he has no intent of maintaining that experience. And don't deny yourself the experiences you need. And we go down through our legs and through our feet and into the earth, and we now have built this huge energy field. Shut your eyes and feel yourself from the high heavens, through your body, through the Elohim group, through group soul energy, through your body, and into the center of the earth. Your body's in the middle of it. But the whole energy system is going to remain regardless of your body. As you know, we are going to now, well, before we go into hearing them, let's take this space and once again put everything into the light, put our own issues, put our neighborhood, see that energy, put your requests in the light right now. And we're going to have a word from our sources through Terry. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy, from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields, of our solar system, through our solar system, through the energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we invite our sources to speak to us through Jerry Brown.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are honored to be with you this day in February 2013. The 17th of February. And we take a moment and we appear non-linearly in connection and in the vicinity of each and every person that wishes to be connected with. And we are there for you. We honor free will so that if someone doesn't wish to connect or is shy or wants to check it out further, we do not connect unless you ask. We are delighted and honored to be present here. This is Ra On. We are of a number of different entities from the Ra group and from the Elohim group. And we are here in service to each and every person that wishes to connect. And we are aware of what you have asked, and we see that each and every one of you that have asked are asking for the this moment. We are there for each and every one of you. And we see the loving and the kindness that you have, those that are on the call and are listening to the replays. And we see that you are reaching to help others. Yes. When you have put things in the light, we see that many of you have put those that you love and care about in the light for healing. And this is very helpful, as it is very supportive of these individuals that you have put into the light. And it brings in synchronicities, it brings in energies, it brings in frequencies of healing, and it helps those individuals that wish to take advantage of that to move toward healing more easily. So you are in service, and you are doing a very important job of helping move the tone of those around you and the tone of those that are struggling to overcome their karma and struggling to heal and to survive in ether density, you are moving to help them to be stronger, to be able to move into their own purpose and their own path. We take a moment and we surround those that you have put into the light and yourselves in healing energies, in light energies that strengthen and that make the light body stronger and more able to connect and to come out of their shell and to strengthen them to move into their life path. And we look at Gracie and we think of and send this energy to Gracie. We look at Tammy and we give this energy, this supportive energy, this magnification of strength to her and to those that she has put into the light, and to Joe. And we see the connection strengthening and his purpose, his feet solidly on his path in the light, flooding in to his connections. You all need connections, as it is a mutually dependent realm. You need your bodies to be able to connect and to function. You need your relatives. You need your mother and father, those of you either in the now or in the past. And these individuals have helped with your growth. Often an individual has, during their connection with their parents and with their relatives, developed issues that they all needed to work through. Working through the issues, things that you have in your mind that you think about. These are areas that are clues to what you are working through, clues to your path, clues to your purpose. For when you are in the third density, it is a perfect opportunity for working through the issues that have set you on the wheel of karma. The things that you are seeking to learn, these are the things that are in your mind. These are the things that you are struggling with. And these are the clues. Where your thoughts are the clues of what you are working through. As you observe these things that you are working through and these injustices that you perceive, it may be some injustice appearing from a past life in an injustice that you are seeking to right, and you do not wish to let go of it, although if you, quote, just let it go and walk out of it, then you would not need to recreate it. But there is this issue that you wanted to get something across. There was some injustice, and you would like to write it before you let it go. You wish to have this resolved. And at the base of karmic issues, there are things that you have been trying to work through and you wish to be heard. You wish to have something from the past resolved. And so very often the individual brings it into the present. And then bringing it into the present hooks up energetically with situations that bring the issue into the present and gives another chance for the issue to resolve. In what we have said here and in your thoughts that preoccupy your mind and you seek to resolve, these are the areas where you need to work them through. One of the major things that will help you is to forgive the other person. Forgive the other person even though there is an injustice. This does not mean to go along with the other person. This does not mean to accept the other person's point of view because you passionately do not. It means to see the situation as it is and allow it to be like it is for a moment. And by allowing it to be like it is, since it is that way anyway, and to allow it, then to give it the space to be able to resolve from that point unto change. Picture it changing. Get a little book and write in the book your grievance. And write everything you can think of about your grievance. And then take a little space and for the moment see it as it is. And it is like the hurricane coming through that you do not wish to come through. And it is like the hurricane that has ruined the house. But it is like a fact of life. And then, although it is so hard to see it the way that it actually is, if you can see it the way that it actually is, and from however it is, to picture it beginning to resolve, the house being rebuilt, the land healing, the space healing, the desperate feelings healing from however it was, and then moving into a total healing and a beginning of a total harmony. And even writing your little book about how perhaps the other person could see your point of view and write out your own point of view about your mother not seeing something, your mother not getting something, and just write out your point of view to your mother. And then allow all of the factors involved energetically to resolve in your own mind. For if it resolves in your own mind, it will begin to resolve in the mind of the other people. For all are one. All are love at the bottom and the base of everything. Thank you.
When are you present?
I'm present, sir.
Hi.
I was, I hate to say it, muted. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Wynn.
Okay. I have been taking lessons from Terry. So, we want to move into the next and final session of our call, which is planetary healing session. But really, you know, as they just concluded with Terry and they said, you know, as you change it in your mind, you start changing it for the people around you because we're all one. And do you realize that's how this works? We're all one. And that we are creating drops in the lake that are expanding. And it's, we are injecting the consensus reality with a new way of experiencing itself. Now, there's lots of other beings that are also affecting consensus reality, and they're affecting it in what I would call a negative way, keeping people enslaved, keeping people ignorant, keeping people unaware of the truth, having agendas. Some of you may wonder what those agendas are. Those agendas are, as I see it, I don't think I want to talk about it, but agendas of enslaving people and controlling them. And we have an agenda of freeing people and releasing them and having them understand their connection to the universe. And, you know, Jesus said, he who has the faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. And I think we need that kind of faith because we are moving mountains, or attempting to. And do you know why he who has the faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain? Because he's accessing group energy. He's accessing group souls. And he is taking his own personal energy and putting it through this huge amplification with millions and millions of additional energies supporting it. As long as they're in the realm of the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will, because that's the stipulations of these group souls.
So, Ben, move the microphone a little bit away from you.
A little bit further away?
Yes, please.
Okay, is that better?
Yes, thanks.
Thank you. So, we see ourselves in that group energy that we established earlier, above our heads. We see our energies leaving the top of our heads and becoming that group energy, affiliating with each other. And we see our group souls and any other positive sources that want to join with us, to please join with us and help us increase the power of our intentions. You know, in the raw material, it says that there's 10 times more of the raw growth than there are of the negative. We're not even talking about the Elohim. 10 times more. which means there is no reason that the positive shouldn't win in this realm. Except the negative has a certain edge. And the edge of the negative is they don't have to tell the truth. They can deceive you. They can do many, many things to get you under their thumb. They don't have to honor free will. The higher sources have to honor free will, so you have to ask. So you see, if we wanted to shift this entire realm, it's just a matter of getting enough people asking, because there's 10 times more of the rod rope than there is of the negative. And the rod rope are the warriors, the interdimensional warriors of sorts. So, we create this huge group energy with the Ra group and with the Elohim group. And each other. And we're going to put our intentions of planetary healing into that group energy. In fact, we can move that energy. Just right now, move that energy just above your head and have it stream into your body. Now let's take that energy and move it over the oceans. And have it focus energy, light energy, into the water of the ocean. We have the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, Indian Ocean, I don't remember all the oceans, and the lakes. And then let's take that energy and make it big enough to surround our entire planet. And that there's all these light workers on our planet. There are all these people that are reaching for spirit. They're reaching to be of service. Let's let that energy reach back towards them so that they might feel the response. We see it coming in through the tops of their head with the permission of their high self and no violation of their free will. And that we ask all those people to join with us as we do this exercise. You notice we can control this cloud of energy. It can surround the earth, or it can be just above us. Or you can contract it and put it inside you to heal your body somewhere. You know, it's a lot easier to do this when there's a group, because we have the power of the group to help invoke the energy. Now let's do the Ring of Fire. We do this every week. It's the earthquake zones around the land masses around the Pacific Ocean, which is the most volatile earthquake area on the planet. And we start at the tip of South America. And again, we have our energy cloud, and we're all focusing our energies into this cloud with our sources. So it's moving up the coastline, penetrating through the earth, and it's surrounding all of the tectonic plates that are out of balance. We're moving up the western coast of South America. You can see it, Argentina, I think Chile. Remember, it's moving through the surface of the earth. Go to Central America. Mexico. Baja California, which is northern Mexico. Into California. Into Chula Vista. San Diego, Oceanside, Carlsbad, Encinitas, up the coast to Orange County, Laguna Beach, Long Beach, up to Los Angeles and all the environs of Los Angeles. Malibu, Santa Barbara, Ventura. We're moving a cloud of energy along the coast, penetrating through. We're penetrating through the fault lines, we're penetrating through into the earth, and we're asking the earth that we know she has to have earthquakes to release pent-up tensions and stresses, and that they be minimized, that they happen gradually, a little bit at a time, and away from population centers. Thank you, Earth. We go up the coast of Northern California, up the coast to Oregon, and to Portland, and to Mount Hood, and up the coast to Washington, to Seattle, and Mount Rainier, and up the coast to Vancouver, BC, Canada, and continuing up the coast of Canada, across the Yukon, and over to Alaska, over to Sitka, Alaska, and Juneau, Alaska, the southern coast of Alaska, also in the Ring of Fire, across the Bering Straits, into Russia, down the eastern coast of Russia, Siberia, China, Indonesia, Hong Kong, Singapore, the Philippines, Japan. We surround Fukushima with energy, and we ask that anything that relates to the radioactivity there can be reduced and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We move from Fukushima, Japan, to all the countries in between, anything I've forgotten, Australia and New Zealand. And we go to the middle of the country, well, let's do Hawaii and all the islands in the Pacific. Take a moment. Think of yourself really powerful, really big, and blasting the whole area with beautiful energy going through the earth. We are senior to that energy, and we are asking it to heal those tectonic plates and the earth for time. We go to the St. Louis area, the, I can't remember the name of it, the New Madrid Fault Line, which is sort of five states surrounding St. Louis, which could be a disaster if it goes off. It could divide the country, could bring water from the Great Lakes into the Gulf. It could stop traffic going across the country. So we ask for, we just send this energy through the earth, through all the fault lines, surrounding them, releasing stresses. We ask for any artificial influences that are sending frequencies to create earthquakes to be modified so that they're ineffective. We go to the Mid-Atlantic Fault. We go to the Canary Islands. And we go everywhere on our planet where there's a potential devastating earthquake. And we ask that it be moderated. And we ask for, we surround our planet with this cloud of light and ask for water, for crops. We ask for interventions in the areas of not letting any nuclear weapons go off, asking for the blocking of nuclear weapons. We ask for obstacles to the nefarious plots of the negative, which we know are existing. We ask for the disabling of the toxic materials on a molecular level that are in chemtrails. We ask that harp frequencies be counter-frequencied right now, so they be made ineffective. We ask that our work can branch out and reach millions of people. We're here in Los Angeles. We ask for the synchronicities and the opportunities to make connections that could go into the media for this work. We ask all those souls that have recently departed, that are stuck in other realms, we send them love and light for their continuance and support and connection. We're almost to the end of this call. Let's take another moment, put our own hopes, dreams, wishes, healings in the light, realizing that you are a walking representative. You're learning on these calls to be a walking representative of this energy in your own life, projected out from you into the world around you so that you change the very nature of the vibrations in your space. There's nothing to talk about, nothing to convince anybody of. It happens automatically through your ability to ground these energies. And if you are one of those who's learning how to do it, and you're experiencing it on these calls, and then you go back to your old way of being, and then you experience on these calls, download this call from the Spirit Channel and listen to them every day. It will help anchor the consistency of the energy in your own life. And I would like to give special thanks to Terry, to Daphne, to all those people volunteering on our calls, all the transcribers, to Valerie, to Pauline Chung, to Gary Brownlee. And Carla Ruckert. And of course, some of you, many of you, were on our workshop yesterday, and it was really, really awesome. I think it was the first one we did laid the groundwork, and the one we did yesterday hit the ground running. And we talked about the raw material. It's called The Raw Material Made Simple. You know, I'll send out another email today if you want to get it. It's suggested it's $25. You get the first audios and the second, 6 hours of audio. But you can put in as little as $5. Everyone can afford it. Please get it. This is one of those things that can help you learn how to hold this energy. And you can listen to it on a drive, on the way to work. You know, it's different than our regular calls. So on that note, I'm thanking Hives also, who I didn't mention, who warmly greets everybody at the beginning of these calls. So I'm going to unmute everybody, and thank you for being here and supporting us.
Thank you.